Hey, welcome to Squib Load. Probably wondering where we've been.
Where have we been? First of all, I'm Sean.
I'm Case.
Welcome everybody to Squib Load Podcast. Case, where have you been?
I've just been working. Not much. I got fat, I got skinny, and I'm trying to get fat again.
You lost a lot of weight.
That's how long the podcast has been gone.
Yeah.
We had some stuff come up.
We did have some stuff come up. So first and foremost, this is just like a hobby podcast. We don't like do this. We don't make any money. We just kind of do this because we think we want to help people and get out information and stuff. So it's really a hobby. But I have been very busy in my personal life with work and family. But then also I've been having like medical issues. And it sounds dramatic when I say it like that. I had both my retinas start to detach. So I was like,
his damn eye fell out.
My eyes were falling apart. So I couldn't shoot for a little while. And it was hard to see. It was hard to like read. So it was just difficult to do certain things.
Did you bring that up to the doctor? Asking if you could shoot?
Yeah, I did. Well, because I'm like, I compete in local stuff. And I'm like, I can't like see the sights on my guns. And he's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing
Sir,
that.
Sir, I'm a professional. Are you telling me I can't shoot anymore?
I definitely felt like I was one of those black swimmers from the 1950s. And they were telling me to get out of the pool. It was exactly the same as that in terms
God
of hardship.
Goddamn doctors trying to tell you what you can and can't do.
They're racist. They need to pass bills and fix my eyes. So my eyes are totally corrected now. I healed. I'm good to go. I didn't need to get surgery. My retinas are attached again, so I can see. I still, you know, what's really interesting. I still have a 20/15 vision in both eyes.
Hey, that's pretty good. It's better than me. I wear glasses like a dumbass.
Well, I'm not saying it's a brag, but I do have good vision, and it's just genetics. But I just think it's crazy how like my eyes can literally start to fall apart and melt, but then when they heal, I'm like back to normal. Like I have better vision than most people now, which is weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where we've been. So that's why it's been like 3 months with no episode.
Yeah.
But we back.
We have like, so this one, you could probably tell by the title, we're going to title it something weird.
Yep.
To talk about what we're talking about. But we're probably going to do like more fun podcasts. We got a lot of stuff to talk about that I've been writing down over the months.
Yeah.
Like almost every military influencer has been exposed. We'll talk about that next one.
Yeah. We're going to talk about big old TK.
Yeah.
Again.
TK, Shrek. Shrek got exposed. Goggins got exposed. They're all out.
Everybody.
Yeah, so we'll just do an episode on why you shouldn't fucking listen to people online.
Yep.
But obviously, we all know what this one's going to be about. This is why we had to return.
The man of the hour, Charlie Kirk. Everybody's talking about this assassination.
Yeah.
This is not a political podcast. I think the only political stuff we talk about is guns, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the gun angle of it. But Case, you had a list of misinformation you wanted to address.
Oh,
myths about the shooting. So
we have... We'll knock them out real quick because it's just so easy.
I'll just set the stage in that, I mean, nobody's lived under a rock and not heard about this. But, you know, Charlie Kirk was at a rally speech thing. He was debating college students and he got shot and everybody's losing their minds over it. So, Case, what are some myths that you've heard?
First one is the false shooter.
False shooter.
Everybody's showing different angles and people are like moving their hands in like a weird way. And they're like, here's a gun and here's how... Like, the worst one is, like, a guy literally is just squeezing his hand as a reaction to a gunshot. You would, like, squeeze your hand.
Right.
And people are like, it's a palm gun.
Oh, my God.
Which I don't know if you've ever seen a palm gun, but first off, there's, like, two of them in the world.
Yes.
There's none. And also, it's not... That was a... What was it, 30-06?
It was 30-06.
Yeah, that was a 30-06 that hit him.
They don't make palm guns in 30-06.
Yeah. The next one was body armor. Been proven like 10 times over that
because he had a wrinkle in his shirt.
Yeah, so he wasn't wearing body armor. There's still YouTubers making videos about how it's a ricochet off the body armor. Wasn't that no body armor?
That's not what spattering looks like.
He was wearing a white shirt and you can literally see his nipple through his shirt at some angles, so he wasn't doing that. Why first off, whenever shootings like this happen, the first day, just like, you can read everything but don't expect him to get the guy the first time.
No.
Yeah, and so what happened was they put out like four different pictures of different people and they arrested an old man and everybody thought the old man was the shooter. The old man wasn't the shooter. He later came out and said that he basically just said he was the shooter so the shooter could get away, which he admitted.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In an interrogation room like an idiot, so he got charged for obstruction.
Yep.
And once you get charged for obstruction, they can download your phone. So they download his phone, what they find?
Tons of CP.
Child porn.
Yep. I mean, just like ridiculous amounts of it. And so he's going to jail for a long time.
So he probably got like 2 years for obstruction, and now he's going to get like 15 years for child porn.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been sentenced or anything, but I'm willing that guy's going to get a lot of time.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out like what he should get.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I mean, that's to your point. I want to hear you keep going. But I mean, day one, this is like literally an hour or maybe 2 hours after the shooting.
Yeah, and there's already there was five pictures.
Yeah, there's already like, we arrested a suspect and here he is and here's his full name. And then everybody was like, yeah, I bet that was like an old leftist man. And it's just people running wild with no information. So you just got to be patient. There's going to be weird initial reports. You got to just let it sit for a day or two.
The next one is, why was there like so many rifle pictures online? Just like the shooter being falsely identified, the rifle's going to be falsely identified.
Yeah.
They arrested one other guy and let him go. I think he had a rifle in his car. They let him go.
Mm-hmm.
So that picture was online for a little bit of a different style rifle and it all this stuff.
Sorry to interrupt you. That was an air rifle.
Yeah.
It was like in the nearby town. Like someone was downtown with an air rifle in their car. It was the kind of thing you'd like hunt, not hunt, but like you'd kill rats with.
Yeah.
And that, a guy had it in his passenger seat, so it was visible from the window. And somebody walked past and said, oh my God, there's a sniper rifle in this car. Yeah. And the cop showed up and detained him.
So that's why it took like, it probably took like 4 days to figure out the rifle and the shooter.
No, it was one day.
One day?
It was like 30 hours, I think.
Oh, but they just don't release it whenever they first get him.
Yeah.
They have to wait a while.
I think like 12 hours after they arrested him, they released his mugshot. But it was like 48 hours. They had arrested him. He was in jail in custody. And like they released his picture. It was like with less than 2 days.
Next myth is, where did the rifle go?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, he was on the roof. He didn't have it. He had it. He had it. He didn't have it. He had it. They found it in the field. And then we'll explain all that.
Yes.
There's a whole timeline of how that rifle got, I think it was just found in, like, he threw it in a field somewhere.
Threw it in the woods. Yeah. And yeah, we'll tell everybody the details. But
how he transported it, same as that. The shot. It's not an impossible shot. It's very easy shot.
Very normal.
Yeah. And why he was caught. This isn't a myth, but there's some questioning around it and all this stuff, and everybody's saying he's a plant because he was caught in such a weird way.
I want to acknowledge the misconceptions and mistruths, but what I'm not going to do is talk crazy.
Yeah.
Which is like, there are people who are like, the Jews did it.
That was my last one.
Yeah. It's just that stuff
last myth
is going around. I'm not even going to address it because I don't think, in the same way that if you have someone who has schizophrenia and they hear voices, you don't want to like encourage that behavior and like identify like, oh, well, what are the names of the voice? Like, you just don't even interact with it.
You just have to think, this guy was a political debater on YouTube. He just did YouTube videos wherever he would debate people about stuff. So obviously there's going to be a video of him or a clip of him talking about Israel and Palestine because they ask everybody about it. So it wasn't because he said something about them that they killed him. You're fine.
Like,
it wasn't a conspiracy theory.
There's no secret society that is going to kill the great Charlie Kirk. That's not real. And if you do believe that, I would advise you to stay off the internet for a long time and get help. Because that's not rational thinking.
Let's talk about the shooter.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I don't want to get too political into like, you know, was the shooter this or that? But he was like a younger college age kid who stole his grandpa's rifle.
Yes.
That's really all you need to know. And like the people are like, oh, he was trans. He was this. It's like, I don't really care about that. I talk about like the assassination and the shooting. But basically, all you need to know is that he was a guy who didn't like Charlie Kirk and wanted to shoot him. And that's sometimes all it takes for an assassination to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, we'll just cover what he was.
Sure, you're here.
He's just a white guy who was, like, what was he, 22?
22, yeah.
Yeah, so he's 22. He's in a point in his life where he was, like, just down. So he decided to do something crazy.
Yep.
Against somebody he didn't like.
Yep.
That's all it is.
And that's all
that's
it
takes. That's who shooters are.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's not, like, paid by Israel. He's not freaking doing it for trans rights. He just watched a couple YouTube videos of Charlie Kirk talking probably and got pissed off and got in his head that he should go shoot this guy.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he came to the school. He used to go to the college.
Yep. And I'm going to talk about just a little side tangent real quick. Ronald Reagan had an attempted assassination against him in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who tried to kill Reagan was John Hinckley.
Mm-hmm.
And basically John Hinckley's entire motivation for trying to kill Ronald Reagan was he wanted to impress Jodie Foster because John Hinckley saw Taxi Driver in the movie theater. So I thought, man, that 14-year-old girl's hot. I got to impress her. How am I going to do that? Well, I better kill the president. So you don't really need some elaborate Like,
I think it was literally like one of his friends talked him into it, like to impress her.
I don't even know if it was that much. I think he just liked Jodie Foster and thought that was a good way to get attention. And then he was going to use the fame and notoriety as a platform to like reach out to her. And then, of course, he went to like a mental institute for like 30 years. And he's actually out now.
Yeah.
And he makes YouTube videos.
Isn't he the one with the explosive bullet?
No. What do you mean by that?
There was one. Was Reagan the one where the bullet was by his heart and they had to do surgery on him?
They did, and it was really close to his heart, yeah.
I think they call it an explosive bullet, but it's not. It was just like a weirder type bullet.
I mean, it was just a normal .22 caliber bullet, but it was near all of his vital organs. It missed his heart and lungs.
That was one of the assassinations I looked at, because we were looking up assassinations to talk about other ones. And before they put Reagan down for surgery, he said to the doctor, he said, "I hope you guys are Republican."
Yeah, which is awesome. That's a cool thing.
And the surgeon said, "Mr. President, today we're all Republicans."
Yep.
And the surgeon was actually a Democrat.
Yeah, but Ronald Reagan survived, and that's a whole other topic. I do want to talk about that later, but I wanted to mention the motivations of that assassin 45 years ago at this point, just because there doesn't need to be some crazy conspiracy about like, oh, Israel this, or it was a trans group, or it was Antifa. It's like, it doesn't have to be some crazy group. This is like just a person who wanted to shoot someone. And, you know, maybe this is still fresh. Maybe more information comes out. It's like, maybe his friends talked him into it, or maybe there was some motivation from a relative or something like that, right?
Yeah.
We don't know those details, but to say that like a foreign government like brainwashed a 22-year-old.
No.
That's crazy talk, and you know it.
You don't need to brainwash kids nowadays. If you just get online and watch the news for a couple hours, you'll be radicalized. It's insane.
So let's talk about something you brought up, that the shot that was made. Some people initially, and this is ridiculous, but people were like, no 22-year-old kid did that. That had to have been a trained hitman to make a shot from 200 yards. Okay. Case. You were in the Marine Corps for 5 years, yes?
Yes.
How old were you when you qualified for rifle?
Oh, I was freaking 19.
19?
Yeah.
How far did you shoot your rifle in basic training?
So that's funny that someone brought that up. We brought it up a million times.
Yeah.
But to sight in your rifle, wherever you do it standing just to make sure that your rifle's accurate, you do it at
200.
200,
yeah.
And then the first shots on the rifle range don't even start till 300.
Yep.
300, 400, 500. I think it changed recently, but I mean, Marine Corps rifle range doesn't even start till 300. And that's with ye olde musket, the M16A4.
Yeah, which is, M16A4 is a perfectly capable platform. It's killed a lot of people.
It's just the smaller round, 5.56 compared to 30-06.
Exactly. It has less range than the 30-06 that the shooter used in this assassination. So for you to be sighting in your rifle at 200 yards, that should tell people how that's not really that far.
Yeah.
It's a pretty common distance for, that is long range. That is a long range shot, but it's not difficult or abnormal in any way. And 18 and 19 year olds in the military make that shot daily.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, they make that shot.
And you can just go watch a YouTube video of someone hitting a target at 200 with a handgun.
Yeah, I mean, it's
with iron sights.
Yeah, with a handgun, it's hard, but if you're good, you can do it.
If they shot him off a roof with a handgun at 200 meters,
that would be crazy.
It'd be like crazy.
Uh huh.
But I wouldn't even say like, "Damn, he's a trained assassin." I would say like, "Damn, he got lucky."
I would say got lucky, or like, "Man, that guy went to the range a few times and really practiced that."
Yeah,
that's
also the shot. I mean, we all know what he was planning to do. He was planning to shoot him in the head.
Yeah, or oh, I actually have a different theory. It's interesting you said that.
Yeah.
So if you sight in a rifle at 200 yards with a big scope like that, it's pretty common for a shooter to hit high if they're sighted in for 100 yards.
Oh, so you think he was aiming for the chest?
Listen, it's just my opinion, just conjecture, but I think he was aiming for the chest and he was sighted in at 100 yards because that's a pretty common distance to scope in, like if you have a hunting rifle.
Yeah.
Pretty common to sight in for 100 yards. And then he had the reticle over the chest, fired, and was accurate, and it hit high. So that's what I think. But if you zero a rifle with a scope at 100 and then go and shoot a target at 200, your shot is going to be, depending on caliber and barrel length and all that stuff, it's going to be like 2-3 inches high, roughly.
Yeah.
So this is like all very standard stuff for, I took my grandpa's hunting rifle and he was hunting elk at 100 yards with it.
Yeah.
To me, that's normal. But you...
What was good about what happened with... Now that the transcripts are coming out of him and his boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's kind of explaining how the whole thing happened and how he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tried to escape and he just dumped the rifle. And then once pictures of the rifle came out online,
yeah,
his relatives realized, oh,
yeah,
that's the rifle. Where's the rifle?
Yeah.
And they started asking him. And then he basically...
That was it.
They said he turned himself in, but it kind of sounds like he just got caught.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically what happened is the shot was made.
Mm-hmm.
The shooter took his gun and put it in, like, a bag. I believe he took the barrel off the gun first. That's what I think happened.
Yeah.
And then he jumped off the roof and then ran into the woods, left his rifle there to be retrieved at a later date. And then after he did that, he blended in with a crowd to get back to his car and then drove home.
Yeah.
And then the plan was for him to
go back and get
the rifle at a later date. However, the FBI and local law enforcement basically had the entire area on lockdown, so no one could go in or out.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't get back to his rifle, and so it just sat there for, like, almost a full day. And the FBI combed the area and found a gun wrapped in a towel that had a fired but unejected cartridge in it. And like, oh, I think we got him.
Yeah.
And then they publicly released pictures of the rifle. The shooter's dad saw the rifle and said, huh, that looks like my dad's rifle, the shooter's grandpa.
Yeah, the grandpa he stole it from.
Yep. And he's like, my son had that rifle
and
was at this event. And so he called his son and was like, hey, send me a picture of that rifle. And the shooter was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he starts saying, he's calling, I'm not going to answer.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to ignore my dad.
And he said, erase these messages.
Yeah.
Like, that's how the internet works.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the FBI has nobody to trace text once you delete them.
Was it through text or what was it through that he was messaging?
The FBI said they were iMessages.
Oh, okay.
So texts on
I figured it was like Discord. And I was like, this guy might be literally the dumbest person.
That would be the dumbest thing.
Because Discord will immediately sell you out to the feds.
Oh, yeah. And so will Apple, by the way.
Yeah.
There's no... That's not a safe way to communicate. If you're a criminal and you're trying to communicate incognito, you can't use iMessages or Discord.
I think your best bet is probably WhatsApp.
WhatsApp's
pretty encrypted.
And Telegram, I think, is also encrypted, I think. It's not like I know, but...
But, I mean, I'm guessing this kid was so dumb that even though he got caught... They probably just, like, fucking downloaded his phone. They didn't even need to message iPhone about it.
It's the intellect of below average intelligence 22-year-old versus the entirety of several police departments and the FBI. It's like they caught him, you know?
Oh, and everybody online dissing on the FBI. I had that written down.
About what?
So, like, a day after it, they clearly haven't released who it was, and everybody was already calling him out. Like, this is the two idiots we have looking for. Them, it was like Cash Patel and all them, and it's like the whole time they already had him.
Yeah, they caught him.
They don't release it to the public. They don't care if you know.
Yeah, well, I will also say that's one of the better things about this current iteration of the FBI is they do communicate with the public far quicker and far more than other FBI iterations and groups in the past. But yeah, I mean, they caught him within, like I said, 30 hours.
Yeah.
It was so quick after the shooting.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, he literally left the gun at the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Wasn't his gun. So now there's other people who know who owns the gun.
Yeah.
Like, if they, what were they going to do? Trace that back to grandpa probably 2 minutes after they found the rifle?
And then make a genealogy report. So I'm glad you brought this up because they were going to trace the gun back to him. But then they, through ballistics and science and math and shit, were able to find out where the bullet came from and then said, oh, this roof right here.
Yeah.
They scanned the entire area for DNA. And they made a genealogy tree based off the DNA they found on the roof for several people. And then they found the shooter through that way. But they hadn't – that alone, like, they didn't release it to the public. But whenever the shooter turned himself in, they were like, oh, yeah, we've already got your DNA.
We already know it's you.
Yeah. So what they were planning on doing was staking out his house.
Yeah.
And trying to get him to come in peacefully. But they didn't need to because he turned himself in. So they got him really quick.
Let's talk about that part, too.
Yeah.
Was it him or his dad who turned him in? Sounds like it was his dad.
The FBI... So it was kind of both. The FBI said that the father recognized the gun and was talking to his son, right? And it sounds like the father had a sit-down with his son and said, hey, you got to turn yourself in. And we don't know what that conversation was like, but I'm guessing it was something to the effect of, don't kill yourself, turn yourself in. This is going to work out better if you can explain yourself and redeem yourself and... I would imagine, I don't know this for certain, but I'd imagine the father went, hey, remember John Hinckley when he tried to kill Reagan? And now he's making YouTube videos.
He's making YouTube. Hey, watch this, son.
He's a country singer. You see this, son? That could be you one day. So I'm guessing it was something like that.
I feel like they're going to go crazy and try to give him the death penalty.
Well, yeah. They, I mean, yes. The FBI, Trump, and the local law enforcement, like the governor of Idaho, have all said, it's a state with the death penalty. That's what we're doing. So
it's just like, obviously, was it Idaho or Utah?
Utah, I'm sorry, Utah. I misspoke.
Utah has death penalty, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's probably fucked.
I believe Idaho does as well, but I misspoke. It was Utah.
He's probably fucked.
Yeah, probably. That one. Well, the problem is that he's getting charged with, as of today, he's getting charged with capital murder, which is a federal offense.
Yeah.
And the federal government does have the death penalty. And the one thing about the federal government is that their death penalty works much faster than the state level.
Yeah.
So, like, if you think about Timothy McVeigh, who was the Oklahoma City bomber, he got the death penalty, and he was on death row for, I'm going to get this number wrong, but I think it was like 8 years before he was executed, which is...
Takes forever. It always takes forever.
It takes forever, but compared to Timothy McVeigh, who was executed 8 years after he was arrested, compared to there's a serial killer called Charles Ng, who got the death penalty in the 80s, I think. And he's still waiting to be executed by California.
There's Here's like a... What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Here's one thing that I will say that was very weird about the Charlie Kirk thing. Like, this guy was just a YouTuber. I will say this. He's just a YouTuber. They flew him out on Air Force One, and they had the honor guard carry him. They gave him the Presidential Medal of Honor, and they're giving him, like, a military man's, like, funeral.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with all that. So I'm guessing they're probably going to go crazy killing this kid.
Probably.
They're already, like, breaking all the rules to make this guy... seem like
he as was, if he was a president.
Yeah, they're acting like he was a governor or something. It's very weird.
It is very strange, I will say. I try not to... I mean, we can talk about whatever we want. I try not to get into that stuff because it's going to lean into, like, politics and stuff, which I really... For the sake of the podcast, I just really care about the gun stuff. Yeah. But that is a weird thing.
People are losing their mind.
People are definitely... On both sides, people are going crazy.
Yeah. We'll get through the good stuff, and I'll tell some people losing their mind stories on here.
For sure. I want to talk about one thing real quick, and this might take me a minute because I've got stats.
You got it.
I've got stats. So statistics. I did see a few people, I'm not going to say liberals, I'm not going to say who they were, but they were like, oh, how ironic, the guy who liked guns got killed by a gun. Well, maybe if he believed in gun control, this wouldn't have happened.
Is he's not even really a gun guy.
Charlie Kirk was a pretty big gun guy.
Like, he
was,
he advocated for guns, but, I mean, there's not, like, videos of him shooting. Oh, no, he's not,
like, a gun tuber or whatever. Yeah. He didn't have kit, but he was definitely pro-Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And I don't say that...
Which is a strong Republican stance anyways.
It is, but he wasn't pro-Second Amendment like Mitch McConnell is Second Amendment. Yeah. He was, like, realistically, like, he's like, I want machine guns and suppressors for everybody, which is, like, a real Second Amendment stance, not you should be allowed to have a grandpappy's hunting rifle.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of fuddy Second Amendment stuff. He was, like, the real deal. So people were like, oh, it's ironic that he... and he had, like, a quote that was, like, the gun deaths we have in America are worth the Second Amendment or something to that degree. He had a quote that said that, which was taken out of context, I think. But also, let's talk about the gun control implications of this specific shooting.
This was a very important one to talk about.
Yes. And you made a very astute political observation over text. And I would like you to reiterate if you don't mind.
Okay. So my astute political blah, blah, blah
was,
so basically what did they say about every shooting? It's a AR-15. Has 30 rounds, and it just can wreck everybody. And if you're carrying is the Republican side, then it never would have happened. So if you were carrying, you could have stopped the shooting.
We need more guns.
This situation right here went against both of those arguments.
Yes.
First off, if Charlie Kirk had a gun on him, would have changed. Even if he had body armor on, nothing would have changed. He could have been the safest man in the world. The only thing he could have been in is a bulletproof box. The second thing is, this wasn't anything that would be affected by the Second Amendment. If they were ever able to make any changes to the Second Amendment, which they never will be, we always just shoot them down.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, we shoot down the request. Even if they did change all these laws, got AR-15s, got all this stuff, this guy could have still got this bolt-action rifle and still shot Charlie Kirk. No matter what, on both sides, we learned nothing about gun control or what to do from the shooting. But what we did learn is that it's fine where it is.
Yep.
If he was carrying, he couldn't have defended him. I mean, there's just so many arguments on so many different things and all this stuff about, like, both of those arguments, by the way, whenever there's some conversations in life that you're about to have with people, sometimes it's better just not to talk to them.
I would totally agree.
The Second Amendment's about right where abortion is. If someone brings up abortion, just stop talking to them. Just do whatever you want to do.
Yep. I think you can have a conversation with level-headed, rational people about it, but there are definitely people who are so chronically online or brainwashed, mm-hmm. you just can't. You're never going to convince them.
The problem is, even with a level-headed person, if you talk about either of those stances, abortion or gun control, at the end of the day, after you guys have talked it out and settled your differences, nothing changes and it's still the same. So why even fucking talk about it?
That is true. And I will say, with guns in particular, it doesn't matter what you feel or what laws you pass with guns. Especially, mm-hmm. I'm talking about firearms in America.
Yeah.
You could pass a law that says no more guns. Every single firearm is illegal. Tomorrow, okay, now what? Because there's already more guns than people. What are you going to do with them all? Are you going to collect them? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do that will undo it. The genie is out of the bottle.
Yeah.
So I don't care what laws you pass. They're here to stay, and that means gun deaths and gun violence will still happen. The best thing you can do for gun control is to encourage safe use. We already have laws in place, like if you're a felon, if you've been convicted of domestic assault, you can't have a gun.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm going to mention this because I've got stats, we should model ourselves more closely to the European countries of Slovenia and Poland, if at all. That's the only thing I'd be like, I'd be willing to hear arguments for that.
Yeah.
But anything that's other than that, I'm like, you're naive. You don't understand the situation that we're in. So specifically this bolt action rifle, I'm going to go on my tangent now. As Case pointed out very, very correctly, no gun control law that has ever been proposed in America would have made this firearm illegal or unobtainable for this individual, right? Yeah. He had no criminal background. There was no red flags, criminally speaking, that would have indicated that he was about to commit an assassination and thus barred him from purchasing a weapon.
Yeah.
And then also, if you pass, like, red flag laws, assault weapons ban, waiting periods, age restrictions, like some places you want to be 21 to, you have to be 21 to own a rifle, would not have changed anything. The most stringent Second Amendment state in the entire U.S., in my opinion, is Hawaii. Because to own a gun in Hawaii, you have to have a permit to own a gun, and you have to be part of some sort of shooting organization. And carrying a firearm on your person is heavily restricted. So, like, concealed carry is basically not a thing in Hawaii. To own, like, a hunting rifle or a hunting shotgun, you have to, like, go to a shooting club, do that for a while, fill out some paperwork, go talk to, like, your local law enforcement to get their approval to have a shotgun in your house. Mm-hmm. That's how strict they are.
Leave it to Hawaii. Hawaii has a lot of weird stuff about it, so that would make sense that they would have the weirdest gun laws.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a long time, they weren't even a U.S. state. They were a U.S. province for a very long time, and a lot of that a lot of their government carried over from that, but the point I'm making is that if you focus on the gun that was used in this shooting, which I don't know if we said, it was a Sporterized Mauser 98. So a firearm from pre-World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Gun manufactured in 1898 that was then sporterized to have, like, a plastic chassis, but functionally the exact same.
And as the shooter described it, badass old rifle.
Yeah, it's a badass grandpa's hunting rifle.
That's what he said.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I actually looked it up.
With a 2K scope on it. That's what he said. It's got a $2,000 scope on it.
There was only... we're talking about first world countries that are democracies. I'm not going to talk about North Korea or anything like that. But the countries that you cannot own this rifle, there's very few. The UK is one of the only ones I could find, like England.
Yeah.
And that is because the shooter would have had to have kept his rifle in a shooting range. He could not have had it in his house. It would have been perfectly legal for him to get a license and go and practice shooting or hunting with this gun, but he would have had to have a valid reason from the government's perspective.
Even Australia, you could have got it.
Australia, yep. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go through the countries that you can't have it in a second. It's going to be wild. But in the UK, you can have that gun if you have a license. You just have to keep it at the shooting range because it's above 22 caliber.
Yeah, classic UK.
Too. Classic UK. They're cucks, but that's the only one where you couldn't have gotten this rifle. And even then, I feel like he could have been like, well, I'm going hunting. It's dove season. It's whatever season. Mm-hmm. And then he takes the rifle to go hunting, and then he shoots Charlie Kirk. It could have happened, realistically.
Yeah.
Okay, so countries where you can own this rifle, with or without a license, a bolt-action hunting rifle in .30-06 with the scope. Germany. Germany is crazily restrictive with firearms.
Could have had it.
They have no problem with you keeping that gun in your closet.
Hey!
France. France is one of the most restrictive firearms countries in the entire world. They don't want you... Handguns are completely illegal. But you can have a hunting license to go and hunt medium-sized game in France with a bolt-action 30-06 with a scope on it. That you can keep it in your house. You can do whatever you want with it, right?
Yeah.
So Germany, France, Belgium, you can have it. Slovenia, you can have it. Poland, you can have it. Finland, you can have it. Russia, you can have it. Russia, you can have it. Ukraine, definitely you can have it. Latvia, Lithuania. The list goes on. These are countries that are known from an American standpoint as being
gun free.
Right.
But all these countries aren't gun free. They just have different laws that you can't get crazy handguns and all that stuff.
Yeah, they don't have a Second Amendment.
They all have their own little like reach around for it too. Like if you go look up
reach around, yeah.
You go look at freaking Russians and stuff.
Yeah.
Russians love having shotguns with like a 17 round tube to go
hunting.
Yeah,
they do. Uh-huh.
They just like change rules by their gun laws just like we do.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. We've got our weird quirks too. Like to have a short barreled rifle, you need to get the government's permission and pay $200 and then wait a year.
But what's so special about that these places can have it is because it's such a simple gun.
It is.
It's just a bolt action rifle that shoots 30-06, and guess what? It did one of the craziest assassinations that everybody's gonna be talking about forever.
So what's the takeaway from that? I mean, what do we learn from the fact that gun control would not have helped?
We just learned that like people are just gonna talk in circles about it forever and nothing's gonna happen and you guys should just get over it.
You get over it and then find other solutions. I mean, if you don't want political assassinations to happen, you have to ask better questions than, well, what gun did he use? And how can we ban that gun?
How did he do the shot? Were the Jews involved?
Yeah, the Jews did. It's like, that's not, you're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah, it was. That. Also, we saw it. So a buddy of ours sent us the video of it happening.
Yes.
So we confirmed they died.
Yeah.
And I think we got it about 5 minutes after it happened.
Literally right after.
It was like about 5 minutes after it happened, we watched this video. And I immediately got online and had already saw a conspiracy. We didn't even know if he was dead. We did know he was dead. I mean, me and Sean saw the shot.
Yeah, Case and I were like, that's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
But, like, we couldn't even make it, like, 30 minutes without somebody saying it was all these. Like, people just take the videos and slow it down and then think they know how stuff works. They don't.
No.
Just like with Luigi.
People are just morons online. I also have a theory, I think, because like a lot of the stuff I was seeing was on Twitter.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that a lot of that is just like people rage baiting, and then also like literal bot AI accounts that are just like saying stuff.
Indian bots.
Yeah, I mean literally just not even real people that are saying this, and then dummies believe it.
They just immediately like clip grabbed him saying like a million things about gun control and what would I have, blah, and then they got like, here's what he said about Israel. Here's what he said about this. This is why they shot him. And it's just like, no, dude, he got shot by a radical 22-year-old white man.
Which is totally believable. I mean, it's
100%. It happens every day.
So I did want to point out, some of those countries I just listed where you could have gotten this rifle, a lot of those are gun-friendly European countries, which from an American perspective, we kind of don't believe in that. Like, we're just like, oh, Europe is cucked and they don't have guns. There's a few countries where you can get guns and like have an AK-47 in your house and go to the range and shoot it.
Yeah, there's countries where the laws are better than here.
I would agree with that. And so James Reeves.
Isn't Norway awesome?
Norway's not great. Finland is a really
Finland, good. Yeah.
You might be thinking of Finland. Finland's really good. That's where Finnish brutality is held.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Hence automatics.
Yeah, that you can get machine guns and stuff. You have to dot your I's and cross your T's in terms of paperwork, but you can do it.
And kiss big booties.
You can kick, kiss and kick both booties. So there, I want to talk about, there's a few countries in Europe that are actually pretty gun friendly. Slovenia and Poland and Ukraine are the three. Oh, and Finland. Like those four are like really, really good in terms of like, you can just like go to a store and buy an AK, like, or an AR-15.
Yeah.
Like with a, like a real one with a suppressor and like a 30 round mag and normal stuff, right? Like a functioning rifle and just keep it in your house. You might have to do a few things first. But it's really not different than like getting your driver's license in America. The difference really is that is not a constitutionally protected right that they have. And we have that here in the US. That's like my one criticism is that like one day their parliament could just like pass a law and says, okay, fuck you, no more guns. And then they'd have to turn them in.
Yeah.
In America, that's not an option. But they have all those guns. And I think it was like Finland had a pretty crazy number of just like, it's like 10 to 15% of their population keeps like a semi-automatic, like what would be considered an assault weapon. Like they have that in their home.
Yeah.
And obviously that's nowhere near the amount that Americans have, but it's enough that you would think that they would have mass shootings.
More gun than people, baby.
Yeah, we do in America. But I looked it up, and they Finland and Poland, and like they just don't really – they don't have mass shootings.
Yeah.
They just don't.
There's a lot of great documentaries about that.
Yeah.
Like there's a documentary called Bowling for Columbine, and it's about where the Columbine shooting was, and then like he goes like right across the border to Canada, and it's like the safest city in Canada, and there hasn't been a shooting there in 40 years. And it's just like they have the same exact gun laws and everything, but
well, let's
just because America is crazy.
I get what you're saying, but we can't quote Michael Moore because he's been known.
That guy's crazy.
He's been also he makes up sources and lies.
Yeah,
so he's not a good source of information. And also, Canada definitely has mass shootings.
I know. Now they do too.
Well, they have had them always.
Yeah.
So Bowling for Columbine is like. It's dramatic to call it propaganda, but it's definitely not true. It's a bad source.
You can tell why you watch it that it's not, like, all there, like, yeah. All right. He's just trying to basically be like, oh, why are these kids shooting each other? I mean, it's so safe over here. And it's like, yeah, I guess. But, like, even his examples in the movie of how he shows that it's safe there are stupid. He, like, opens doors and they're not locked.
That's also a myth. I mean, yeah. You ask any Canadian person from, like, Quebec and they're like, what the fuck? There's crime all the time up here. Yeah. They're just like us.
We're getting robbed like crazy up here.
Canada is an interesting point, though, because they have similar crime rates in the U.S. And they have really strict gun laws, but their crime rates are really similar to ours. And so you have to ask yourself, okay, well, why is that?
Yeah.
It's a hard question to answer, and I can't definitively say, but I will go out on a limb. My opinion is that culture plays a huge part. Because Canada is culturally very, very similar to the United States. They have a similar crime rate. Their cities are structured the same as ours. Their gun laws are very different, but they still have mass shootings.
Yeah.
The last mass shooting they had was someone broke into a police car and stole a rifle out of the police car.
Yeah.
And then they murdered, I think it was like 12 people.
Jesus.
I mean, dude, I mean, it's a horrible thing. That guy's,
like, Michael Moore is about as credible as the guy who did Supersize Me.
Yeah, which is also a lie.
Yeah, we later learned that he was just an alcoholic.
I don't know how old our audience is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when they used to make you watch it in school.
Yeah, I mean, I had to watch it in school, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't eat McDonald's. Now if you go rewatch it, it's hilarious because there's a part when he talks to the doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor says he looks like he has a liver of an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And then he dies of alcoholism and the whole time he's actually a drunk.
Yeah, which is, oh my God, it's so funny. I remember that exact
same. His eyes are like, open up real wide, like, wow, McDonald's made me an alcoholic. And it's like, no, you're already an alcoholic.
The one credit I'll give that guy is that when I get drunk, shitty food sounds good.
That was totally came up with that idea. He's like, how do I get paid for this?
He's like, I want to eat McDonald's because I'm drunk off my ass every night.
Oh my God. You rewatch it, you can tell he's like fucked up half the show.
He's like drunk driving in the documentary. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So don't believe Michael Moore. Don't believe Supersize Me. Believe Squibload Podcast.
Michael Moore had another one that was just like, kind of like Bowling for Columbine, wherever, like, whenever you watch it, you're like, wow, this sounds right. I mean, it is America. That's the problem. But then if you actually go do your own research, you'll be like, oh, never mind. He just lied.
It takes one Google to be like, oh, he's full of shit.
Yeah.
That's why podcasts, I know.
He picked the city specifically because it hadn't had a shooting in forever. And it was like the city over had like three in like the last 2 years.
I think a very important question to ask is why did Michael Moore do that?
Because he was trying to sell his point on this movie.
So you think he was trying to make money?
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah. I think it's either money or he had some political agenda that he really wanted to get across. But probably the money.
I think I have that on DVD. I'll have to rewatch it.
You should. And then.
And then because I know whenever I was young, mm-hmm. my dad showed it to me and I watched it and I was like, wow, America sucks. And then I like grew up and whenever I watched a YouTube video on how it's kind of bullshit, I was cracking up.
I had a different experience because a big point that Michael Moore makes in that show is blaming the video game Doom.
Oh, yeah, he does do that.
I grew up the first video game I ever played was Doom,
mm-hmm.
and I played it in my father's lap because I was like a baby, and like whenever he was my dad's turn to watch me when I was a baby, he would like play Doom on his computer, and then I would just like sit in his lap and I would watch it. And then when I got old enough, he would let me hit spacebar, which is how you fire in Doom.
Yeah.
And so he would move around and like look at the monsters, and I would like hit spacebar and like shoot them.
Yeah.
It was like a cool bonding moment I had with my dad. I've been playing violent video games my whole life, and guess what? Never shot anybody.
He also just did the narrative like that, like the shooters were like losers and stuff.
Yeah.
Which we all learned wasn't even true.
I mean, a lot of them are crazy and a lot of them are just like down and having a bad time. So I don't know. I mean, how? What a dumb statement to make. Oh, shooters are depressed. It's like, yeah, duh, dude. No one.
You're trying to say that they were bullied. That's why they did it. And it turned out that stupid. They weren't.
No, they're not.
They're like popular kids. One of them was popular kid. The other one was just kind of like talking to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're getting so off course on the Kirk shooting, but that's just such a horseshit documentary.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the Charlie Kirk assassination and why gun control doesn't work and will never work.
Yeah.
And will not prevent assassinations. So don't believe in that. I genuinely think if you want to reduce gun death in America, teach people how to be safe around guns, take them shooting, and then teach them empathy, which I understand the irony of me saying that. We're talking about Charlie Kirk. He didn't believe in it, I guess. But show them that like when you do small stuff, it has an effect on people, right? And it doesn't have to be something as extreme as like physically hurting somebody else, but just like teach your kids that that's wrong and it's never the answer. And even if you're like a psychopath and your goal is like, well, I've got this political agenda and if I kill 10 people, then it will get out there. You're not convincing anybody when you hurt people, right? The right wingers have like rallied over this issue now.
Yeah, they seem to be like, we're going to go destroy everything. And it was like,
they're just first pissed.
Off, you guys need to relax.
They need to relax for sure.
It's like, both of you guys just like fire each other up. Relax, everybody. I wonder, one of my things I was thinking about while we were talking about this was states whoever to own a handgun to make you take a conceal and carry course.
Yes.
Compared to states whoever you can just buy a handgun without a conceal and carry course.
Yes.
I wonder if that affects violence.
No.
It doesn't? Not at all? That's what I would figure.
Well, it actually, if you look at those states, they maybe have a slightly lower handgun death rate.
Yeah.
But you know they have a much higher rate of sexual assault. Women get raped more often in those states.
Because they're not allowed to just go buy a gun.
Correct. And their defensive gun use is like significantly lower.
Yeah.
So I'll give an example I always give. And I'm sorry to – I mean, it's so blunt. I use the word rape. But, I mean, I care about people not getting raped. So, yeah. I'm going to talk about it. There's states where let's say you're a woman and your boyfriend breaks up with you. And he's crazy. And he's like, fuck you for breaking up with me. I'm going to come kill you.
Yeah.
Right? And then, or well, maybe he doesn't directly threaten you like that, but he says, I'm going to be watching, you better watch your back. He says something ominous like that, right?
Something that the cops won't care about.
The cops won't care about. So then you call the cops like, my ex-boyfriend is threatening me. And the cops go, well, what did he say specifically?
Yeah.
And you're kind of stuck then.
And he got you on the word.
Yeah.
He put it in chat GPT.
And so as a woman, then you're like, well, shit, I need something to protect myself with. So then you go to buy a gun and you're like, well, there's a 21-day waiting period.
And you got to take a two-week course.
And you got to take a two-week course. And also, you have to meet our local chief of police who is swamped. And he has to personally meet you and assign you this handgun certificate.
And make sure you're safe.
But he's really busy, so he may not get to you for like 3 or 4 months. Yeah. And also, if he doesn't like you or thinks you're a slut and you're making this up, then he just won't give you a gun. No, seriously.
I know. It does happen.
It does
happen. It's just horrible.
It's awful. So that's why I'm against waiting periods and I'm against the states that require you to have paperwork because you'll always get trapped in red tape. And the people that suffer for it are the people who are vulnerable.
And I always thought like some people think it's like really good whenever they make you take a course to own a handgun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you should be able to get the handgun.
Yes.
And then it should be your own choice to go take the course.
Yes.
And you could just put it in your safe after you buy it and then take it to the range. You don't need any concealed carry course to do that. It does help.
I will take from the school of history and tell you this. America does not force people to do stuff. That's not how you convince Americans.
That's not how you do nothing.
Not in America. In other countries, sure. You convince them to and you incentivize. So, for example, gas rationing in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but in the United States during World War II, there was a limit to how much gasoline you could buy, and they would give you a little card. And then every time you fill up your car with gas, you punch the card, right? Mm-hmm. The reason they were doing that is because the ships and the Navy and the tanks and the Army and stuff, they all needed the gasoline to go win World War II.
Yeah.
So the civilian just like, hey, don't drive your car as much, was basically the point. What people started doing was they started like just saving up their cards so that they could get more gas, or they would like forge their own. And so what ended up happening is the gas rationing cards, they would give you so many of them, and they said, hey, you can get as much gas as you want, but once you pass this certain threshold, we're going to charge you more.
Yeah.
And that was how they convinced people to stop using gasoline, is they charged them more and basically like incentivized better usage. So with firearm safety classes, it should not be a legal requirement, because the people who are going to suffer are not the criminals.
Yeah.
It's going to be people who need a gun right now because someone's trying to kill me and the cops won't help, so they need a gun right now. What you should do is say, hey, here's your gun. But if you take this concealed carry course, the federal government is going to pay for 200 rounds of ammo, or your state taxes are going to be 5% less this year because you took a handgun safety course.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's how you convince Americans to do stuff and encourage better gun safety, and you empower vulnerable people who want a firearm to defend themselves. That's it.
And I think, one of the, crazy thing is all these stats that people say, I'll bring up, someone will say, my state's better because they don't just let everybody have a gun. And then immediately you just throw in there that, but your rape stats are higher.
Yeah.
Because people don't want... And it's just, simple things that people like this can figure out
yeah.
for themselves, and they don't.
Yep.
And they don't even bring these into the arguments and all this stuff. And that's why, whenever someone makes a 200-meter shot, and then some guy on the internet who's never made a 200-meter shot is telling you how impossible it is, you don't have to listen to him.
Yeah.
You need to do your own research.
Yes. And
you need to think for yourself.
Absolutely. And I would also encourage readers, if you are a pro Second Amendment guy, mm-hmm. challenge yourself. Don't see a stat that you like and then immediately go with it. Look at the bad stuff too. I mean, you should really ask yourself about mass shootings, because it's the ultimate failure of the Second Amendment doctrine is that we have high gun deaths.
Yeah.
That's the worst consequence of owning a gun.
We gain so much but lose in the worst way.
Yes, and you need to ask yourself, what can we do about that? Because once you solve that problem, not only is it better for everybody in society, like less people dying, but then also any argument to take away your freedoms and liberties is now defeated.
Yeah.
So it is in everybody's best interest to ask those questions and empower yourself with knowledge, and don't deny it. That's the worst thing you could do, is deny that there's issues. And I will say, in fairness, there are people who will embellish and dramatize statistics to make gun owners look bad. Don't fall victim to that. Don't believe all that stuff, but
everybody will always take statistics and angle them in the way to make their argument right.
And
you gotta watch for that.
You're exactly right. I really try to not do that to enforce my own biases. It's hard.
Yeah.
But you gotta just do the best you can and be smart about it. But one stat this is important to know too. I talked about sexual assault and rape stats in countries and states where it's hard to get a gun. This is something that's very hard to measure, but I would encourage everybody to go look up the FBI statistics on defensive gun use.
Mm-hmm.
It's estimated that there are several million, I believe the number is 40 million, defensive gun uses every year in the United States.
That's crazy high.
That's the FBI's stat.
Is that people just holding the gun out and they get defended? They don't even fire a shot and someone leaves that was maybe going to harm them? Or is it
that's included.
Shots fired? Okay,
it's included, but so...
That's why it's so high.
Yes, but the FBI determines defensive gun use. They categorize it as someone brandished or fired or pointed a gun in a way that was deemed justified defense by law enforcement.
It's basically any time a cop's been called because of a gun.
And a report was made.
Yeah.
So if there's an information-only police report, it would not count.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Sorry, do you know what information only is for police reports?
No.
The audience might not either. And that's okay. It's not a commonly known thing. But basically, I'll just use an example to explain this to people. But let's say I trespass in a public library. I'm being a dick in a public library. I'm shouting and playing stuff on my phone.
Yeah.
The staff asks me to leave. And I say, no, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
The cops get called. They say, hey, we're going to trespass you if you don't leave. And I say, fine, I leave.
Yeah.
Then the cops submit an information-only report, which is to say, I wasn't charged with a crime. Nothing happened. You know, I wasn't actually trespassed. They just threatened to do that to me.
Yeah.
But they make a note that says, hey, someone was causing a disturbance at a library. We asked him to leave. That's what an information-only report is. No crime was committed.
And those don't get counted.
Those do not get counted for defensive guns.
So it's probably 80 million.
It's probably way the fuck higher than 40 million. That's what information-only is.
Hey, I mean... You hear 40 million and you go, that's crazy. How does that happen? I think I've seen 2 guns pulled this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it.
I haven't ever pulled or brandished a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I have. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you have.
I did this year.
Yeah.
But no, I saw somebody brandish a gun to get somebody away from him. They were trying to, they were just a homeless guy in the way, and they were trying to, fuck with him about his backpack. So brandished a gun. We were all just standing there, what the fuck?
So we can argue all day.
That one didn't get counted.
And it didn't get counted. And that would be justified or not, that's a defensive gun use, right?
Yeah.
So you got to think, how many people, how many old ladies, how many kids defending their parents, how many times has there been a crime, a violent crime, sexual or just physical violence, that has been avoided because fucking everybody is armed?
Yeah. Tons.
In my opinion, and I get I'm biased, that immediately makes everything about guns worth it.
Yeah.
You're preventing women from getting attacked. You're preventing old people from getting like their properties broken into. Yeah. I mean, it solves a lot of problems, and it's, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and be like, because Charlie Kirk had a quote about like, oh, the gun deaths are like the price we pay for the Second Amendment, but it's worth it. I don't think that that's like the best attitude to have, but yeah, I kind of...
You never want to use your gun. It's just like karate. You don't want to fucking judo somebody in half.
Yeah, the goal behind a gun is not like, well, I'm glad I got to fucking kill somebody.
Your gun, that's not the point. It's the first lesson of karate. You never want to use karate. That means you're using it correctly.
Right.
But where are we at?
I got a good one to end it, and then
I got a hot shot to throw in there.
Okay,
one of the best videos that came out from this thing was they slowed down the crowd, and there's just like a gray man. What's a gray man? You know what a gray man is, right? It's a guy who's wearing a flannel and like fucking khaki pants and clearly has a gun on him and stuff.
Yep.
And he's running through the crowd with a Glock because the shooting just happened, so he's running with his Glock out. And everybody's like, that's the shooter. And obviously he was cleared and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny. He was like, oh shit, there's a gray man there.
Yeah.
It's us. It's us whenever a shooting would happen around us. We'd immediately pull our gun and just start running.
Just start running towards wherever it came from.
Yeah. We gotta get out of here. No, he was running away from it.
Oh, whatever.
But he just pulled his gun out for no reason. Yeah. He could have just ran.
I would have maybe had it at low ready or something. I don't know, but...
Yeah. Well, he wasn't, like, pointing it, but he had it in his hand. They slowed it down. He's just clearly running with a Glock.
That's probably what I would have done.
They got it. Yeah, so they got a gray man came out of it. To end this...
Yes.
We'll talk about one of the most important things, I think, that came out of this.
Yeah.
Is, first off, we've had lots of people messaging us. People who own guns, people who have never owned guns, and all this stuff, asking us advice on if they should buy a gun or if they should be scared. And...
Over this?
Yeah, and then this is what I told... Like, people are like, the world's getting scary. First off, nothing scary's happened.
No.
You guys are fine.
We are fine.
And now the news sphere is going to... Every day there's a fucking crime committed.
Yeah.
They just might not report on it.
Yep.
Because nothing big happened. Now they're going to report every single crime like it's the fucking end of the world and it's because of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
When 9/11 happened, how much safer did airports get?
Way safer.
Way safer. How do you think the world's going to get after an assassination like this?
Way safer.
Way safer. This guy had, like, I think he had a 10-stage security system.
Yeah.
Through cops and his own security and all this stuff, and he still was shot. And maybe it's because they're not sweeping rooftops enough. Maybe it's because he's not Donald Trump. Like,
yeah.
Donald Trump probably can't give a press conference without every building in the goddamn area being cleared.
Especially now.
Yeah, so this guy was just a YouTuber. Like, they're not clearing and checking buildings for him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, most baseball games will have more coverage of the city.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
It is.
And it will get safer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I mean, he did everything he could to not have this happen.
Yep.
And it did happen. And now it's probably going to happen less.
Yep.
Because it happened. And everybody needs to calm down. There's not going to be a war. There's not going to be nothing. You should go buy a gun.
You should.
Especially, and you should read your state laws and figure out if you can have them or anything like that.
Yep.
And you should conceal and carry whenever you can.
Take a class.
There's going to be some times in your life where you can't take your gun, and it's going to be your decision if you're still going to do it.
Yep.
Or if you want to get charged or if you're going to get caught for it.
That's what freedom is.
Just be safe.
Yep.
But no, you're not in danger because this happened.
Yep.
They caught the guy.
Yep.
You're fine. The world's safer. The most dangerous thing you're going to face is backlash online because you made a post about it.
Yep. And to which I would, you know, in general advice, I mean, don't kick up a stink online because it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's not doing nothing.
It's not productive. But also, I would say, it's kind of a nihilistic view of mine, but I would say that guns exist.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do that will make them unexist.
Mm-hmm.
You can ban them, but not in America. That will never work.
Yeah.
People will get their grandpa's old hunting rifle or the AR-15s that will be here after humanity because they don't break and they always work. So guns exist. We have to take steps that are proactive and we have to be safe with our guns. But they are here and they're here to stay, and that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
And also, this sort of thing happens in countries where there aren't guns.
Yeah.
So... should you be scared that, oh, this could happen at any moment? No, just accept that this is a thing that happens in our lives. You, as a human being, forget technology and guns. We are mortal.
Mm-hmm.
We are fragile, and that is just how life is. So you got to do the best you can, take precautions, and sometimes shit's going to happen, but that's life,
yeah.
You know? This is the last thing I want to talk about, but the former Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated while he was giving a speech. in a country that has basically no firearms.
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
There's no way to get a gun.
Maybe in a museum.
Yeah, there might be some museums, but that's... Anyway, the former prime minister of Japan, arguably the most politically influential person in the entire country, was assassinated when a disgruntled single individual didn't like the religious beliefs that Shinzo Abe had. So this individual made a homemade shotgun with an electric trigger and ball bearings as the load and shot Shinzo Abe and killed him. This can happen anywhere. And that shouldn't scare you. That should make you understand that this is just something that happens. And if you're not a politician, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
You should still be safe. Get a gun if you can. Learn how to use it, definitely. And then just, you know, be smart about stuff. Like, just stupid stuff. Like, that poor Ukrainian lady who got stabbed on that train.
Yeah.
If I walked on that train...
I'm not sitting there.
I'm not sitting right there. Fuck that.
That's the first thing I said when people brought it up and everybody acted like I was an asshole. But I was like, I'm not sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, it's I'm not, sitting in a corner yeah, where, like, my I back's to the wall. I
see everybody. Yeah.
Last time I checked, my walls don't stab people.
Right, exactly. And it's not that's not victim blaming. That's just like, okay, it's sad for her. It sucks, but we got to learn something from it, so...
Yeah, I watched that. As soon as that happened and then I read the whole story, I was like, oh, they're going to blow this one out of the water.
I would.
Obviously. Did they catch him?
Oh, yeah. He's...
He got away for a little bit, but they caught him.
I think it was a few days, but they caught him right away.
I mean, they had Trump holding up a picture of him.
Yeah.
So it was like, he's fucked.
That's, and then,
like, also, don't know what's going on in some people's head, but, I mean, as soon as it happened, it was like, yeah, fucking send that guy to jail. Put him in jail for, like, for life or however long.
Yeah.
That's obviously what you should think when you see something like that.
Yep.
And then I'm having people tell me, like, you know, he was, like, a schizophrenic. That's why I did it.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. Put him in jail. Yeah.
I think,
what do you mean? You see somebody get murdered. There used to be a place where these people went.
Yes.
So don't tell me, you know, he's fucked up in the head. That's why I did that. Okay?
Keep him somewhere.
Get him the fuck out of my goddamn train car or whatever you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't care. And you stab somebody, you kind of lose your sympathy. I don't give a fuck.
There's tons of schizophrenics who aren't stabbing people.
I think the solution to that is... Go get that guy in a ditch, put one right behind his ear, take him out forever. That's one option. Option number two, he can go and sew.
He can go sit in jail for
I was going to say, he can make license plate and sew together hoodies for the rest of his life and actually provide something to us. And then he can eat rice and just live off that. And that
I just couldn't believe, because first off, we got the liberals like, yeah, Charlie Kirk's dead. And then we got the Republicans like, there's no way you said that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys can fight about that all day, but. People are telling me, you know, that guy has mental health problems. Well, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I think
mentally, he's fucked.
I think mentally you have to have some problems to, like, stab a stranger to death.
I couldn't believe that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Final squibload topic, and then we'll end it after this. But I just wanted to ask you, Case, you have to have sex with one creature, a mermaid or a reverse mermaid. Which one are you picking?
Probably, I like blowjobs, so mermaid.
No, it has to be sex that would create something.
Oh, gosh, I have to have sex with the fish pussy?
It's fish like pussy the movie. Or fish head with woman pussy.
I'd probably still go mermaid. I don't want a fish head pop.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you got to be facing it, right? So
I'm not looking at the pussy while I'm fucking it like, wow, this is awesome.
All right, so that's the takeaway from today's Squibload episode. Gun control doesn't work. Get a gun. Learn how to use it. Be safe. And you always pick regular mermaid, not reverse mermaid.
Never go reverse mermaid.
Squibload podcast, everybody.
Kiss her up.